You this morning to worship here at Scranton Road Bible Church. We got to go over a few announcements that are in your bulletin this morning before we get started in our worship service. If you are or know somebody who has recently graduated high school and is getting ready to go to college, there is a scholarship, the Alan and Sherry Dick Scholarship, that was started years and years and years ago. And that is something that we can offer here at the church. So if you are interested, you can either call the office or email the office to get the application. There's a little bit of urgency on that because the deadline is next Sunday, July 13th, for that application. We've gotten a couple in already. So if you're thinking about going to college or a trade school, and this is your first post-high school degree, then you are qualified for that scholarship. Also, be praying because in a couple weeks, we will start soccer camp. So soccer camp starts Tuesday, July 15th, with Monday the 14th being a training orientation day for anybody that's volunteering. And that's when we'll put all the field stuff together. And then also we welcome coaches in next week on July 13th. They'll get here in the afternoon. And so it's a big week. It's a big workup to get to there, and it's a really fun week. If you are thinking about volunteering or would like to volunteer, but you can't commit to the whole week, it's okay. A day or two, if you can give those, is just fine. And if you would like to volunteer, it's not too late to sign up. There's a sign-up link down here. But if you have questions like, hey, I'd love to be able to do this, but I don't know if that's what you need, talk to Lori Sagano. Lori, will you raise your hand in the back? Talk to Lori Sagano, and she can answer any questions you might have. If you don't have questions and want to volunteer, just go to that link to sign up. Also, every month, the first and third Sundays, we have fellowships immediately after service. We have one the first Sunday after communion. We celebrate communion here, and then we share a meal together, which is kind of cool to do. And then the third Sunday, we also have a fellowship meal. And we're looking for somebody who can coordinate and lead that on the third Sunday of the month. So if you have a gift of hospitality or are looking to develop the gift of hospitality, or you just really want to help direct people to serve a lot of people food, then that is something we're looking for the third Sunday of the month. Susanna currently does the first and third Sunday. She's still staying with the first Sunday, but we're looking for somebody to kind of help bear the burden. It's not a heavy burden for the third Sunday of the month. So if you're interested, have questions or whatever, we can connect you to Susanna. She can answer a lot of those questions. Just please call the office, and we will we'll answer all your questions. Also, we will be having an outdoor baptism service on July 27th. It's the last Sunday of July. We're going to be doing it at the beach, at Huntington Beach, after the worship service, sometime around maybe 1:30 or 2. If you are interested in getting baptized, and this is something that's new on your radar, please see me ASAP. Even if you don't want to go to Lake Erie, which is fine because some people don't like Lake Erie, but you want to be baptized. If you are a Christian and you haven't been baptized, you should seriously be thinking about it. But if you've never been baptized or you have questions about it, please see me afterwards. If you don't make it in time for this July 27th baptism, we'll have another indoor service back in the fall, and we can get you connected. See me, or you can email the church at office@scrantonroad.org. Also, if you would, if you're thinking about membership here at the church and you want to know what that looks like, this fall we'll be having some membership classes. Please email the office at office@scrantonroad.org so we can just keep a list of people who are interested, and then we'll make sure that we communicate with you as soon as we set those dates for those classes. We also have need of one of the things that we started up that had happened years ago and that we're trying to start up again is having people as a small team pray during the service, during the sermon. Jessica Knowles leading that, and we're getting a good response, but we really need 2 to 4 more guys on the rotation. And so if you are interested in praying with another man, 2 men together, then please let us know, because we'd love to get that. That's going to be starting up mid-July, and so we'd like to see that that team kind of rounded out for starting here in July. So please let us know. You can email the office or call the office, and we can connect you to Jessica and get that all started and get that rotation put together. Also, as you guys, this is not in the bulletin. This is kind of a save the date kind of thing. August 3rd is the Puerto Rican Day Parade, and it runs from Seymour all the way to Valentine, right along Scranton Road. And they kick off, they start right during our service. And 2 years ago, it was so loud that Mark Rissman, who was preaching, couldn't be heard. So last year, we moved the service forward like an hour to try to help make it so that we could get through the service. This year, we're thinking about something different. And this is something I would love to hear your feedback on. But we're thinking about moving the service to later in the evening, and during the Puerto Rican Day Parade, having a team of people from the church as kind of a hospitality team that maybe has water, cooling stations. We're still working through the idea of stuff out in the parking lot, have our buildings so that people can use the bathroom because people are trying. There's hundreds of people on this corner during that day. And so we're thinking about somehow making making this kind of an evangelistic outreach where we're out there maybe giving some literature, talking to people, just basically just being hospitable on this corner. And this is like the major corner for that parade. So I'd love to hear your feedback, what you guys are thinking. That's what we're thinking. We'll make a decision. Yeah, last year we finished and went out there, and it was really fun. And so we're trying to be more intentional about how do we do that. So if you have specific thoughts, like it'd be really cool to do this or some other things, maybe we'll have people. I don't know. We're still kicking the idea. So. Let me know, and we'll start putting that together. But just know that day, that the time of the service will change, whether it'll be an hour forward or all the way into the evening. We're still working through that. So, but just know that August 3rd will not be, the normal thing, just because of the chaos of the parade that day. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of people if you didn't see it last year and the previous years that are here. Also, Sunday, July 20th. I know there's a lot of announcements. Is the last day soccer camp will have been the week before. It's the last day coaches are here. They share a little bit of their testimony that Sunday, and then we send them off to the next church for their next week of soccer camp. But it's also a regularly scheduled fellowship meal, and we want to just send them off with a really good meal and all the people who might come to visit that day with a really good meal. So if you've been thinking about bringing food to share as a potluck part of fellowship meal, that would be the Sunday to do it. And because we're planning on having a lot of people here to eat. So if you have been just on the fence about maybe I'd like to bring my special casserole or my special salad or my special whatever I make, that would be the Sunday to bring it because we're going to need extra food that day. And you can email the office, or if you just would like to help serve that day or whatever, just email the office and let us know. And that way we could be planning on those things. As you can see, we have a lot of prayer requests. They've for the last several weeks, they've gone from the back into the main portion of the bulletin. So be praying. A lot of medical things, a lot of people from the church who are either in the hospital or recovering from surgery or are hurting. So be praying for all the needs of the congregation and families that are connected to the congregation. If you have a praise or a prayer request, you don't have to just put things in here when you need something. You can just be like, praise the Lord, he did this amazing thing in my life, because we want to be praising the Lord with you as well as praying for things. You can put that in this little tear off here in the bulletin. It should be easier than that to tear off. And you can just pretend like I did that really neat. And you can fill out whatever praise or prayer request you have, and you can put it in the offering when the offering plate is passed later on in the service. And we will be praying and praising. And if it's confidential and you only want pastoral leadership to see that, then you can check that. And there are only a few people that will see that praise or prayer request if you want that confidential. And we certainly will be praying. We have groups of people who pray during the week. A men's group that meets Tuesday morning to pray, and a women's group that meets Sunday evening to pray, and they are praying for the needs of the church, as well as individuals throughout the week. And so I encourage you, if you have a prayer or a praise, just put that in this sheet and send it in. All right, so we like to welcome people who are visiting here for the first time, and I see a few faces that seem like they're here for the first time. And so what I want to do is, before I do that, I'm going to ask Bob Beckstrom to come up here, because he's going to share something about Sunday school that's going to be happening starting up this fall. And I almost forgot, and he got my attention. Thank you, Bob. And he's going to share a little bit about Sunday school, and then we'll move on.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm sorry, I know you guys are OD'd on announcements, but here's one more. One of our favorite things, I think, is when we have in the service a child dedication. It's one of the really, really special things. And if you think about it, it begins with the two parents making a promise about their child, and then it turns to us, and we make a promise about the child. And if you're like me, I half wonder whether I'll ever have anything to do with these children. I want to go along with the promise because it's in my heart and it feels right for the moment, but what will ever happen? Here is your opportunity to come through on the promise that you've made many, many times when we've dedicated children. We have a ton of them. They're growing. They're getting to the age when it's time for them to learn their Bibles and to know about the Word of God and be prepared to face this world. So we're going to get Sunday school going again. We sort of died with COVID, but it's coming back. And it'll be rolling sometime in September. We'll have to get some of the details. So I'm looking for 6 people that are willing to teach. There'll be 3 levels, like there were before. The little tiny guys, 4 and 5 years old. There's the middle group, which is, I think, going to be a thriving group from age 6 through 11. And then the older group of 12 on. And then when you get really old, you can come pretend you're an adult. But at any rate, we need, this could be you. If you are concerned about these children and you want to make sure they have a grounding in the Word of God, and we just want to make sure that when they come out of our church and they're in their adulthood, the Bible stories are rolling around in their head. It's the noise they hear when they don't hear anything else. This is a very important and impactful opportunity. So if you're thinking that you could be a teacher or that you care about it and that you'd like to give it a try, we need this way, each level would have a pair, so you wouldn't have to do it every Sunday. You'd sort of work it out with your partner, and we'd roll from there. We'll give you the support and encouragement that you need in order to do this well, but we're going to get it started. And if you are interested, talk to me. Even if you aren't interested, talk to me, and we'll proceed from there. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. And then if you want to talk to Bob and just don't know his number or anything, you can email the office and we can connect you to him as well. So we'd like to welcome new members. We usually have them stand up, share where they're from and their names. But I'm not going to do that this week. Instead, if you are somebody that's not a first-time visitor here, I want you to stand up. If you're not a first-time visitor, stand up. All right. If you are a first-time visitor, you get it easy today. You just sit there. And everybody look around, and if you see somebody sitting down, I want for the next 1 minute for you to go over and talk to them and introduce yourself to them, to anybody that's sitting down. All right, go. And then if you don't recognize somebody that's standing up, you can introduce yourself to them then too.
Or just say hello to your neighbor. Just greet each other.
All right. Well, if you would remain standing, we're going to open up worship and sing this morning. I wanted to have something great and inspirational for you to start the worship service, and I really didn't have anything. And I just kind of was like, you know what? I think that's God just saying, like, sometimes we don't have to feel like we're in performance mode. Like, God just meets us where we are, and that's what I love, because that's what I love about this church. That we can just come here with whatever we're dealing with in the week. We can share it with each other, and we can hold it together. And so as we sing today, I just hope that you find a connection point with God, to hear from him, to feel like you can bring your authentic self, and just be real in this space this morning.
Yeah. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself, carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah.
So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. From Amen. Ephesians 1, 6 through 10.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Verse 2.
For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Jesus, 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 the sweetest name we could ever know. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit is in this place. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that brings peace, that brings power, that brings healing. Help us set our minds and our hearts right, Father God, as we continue to worship, Father God, as we continue to remember the sacrifice for us. Thank you, Lord, for the redemption of sins. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be called your children. Thank you, Lord, that you call us to have a seat at your table, Father God, that you find us worthy and valuable and precious, Father God, that you would send your Son to die for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Thank you for your mercies and your graces that are new every morning, Lord. May we continue in a heart of worship that glorifies and honors you because you are so worthy, Lord. You are worthy of it all, Father God. And we thank you, Lord. There's never enough thanks that we can give you for all that you've done for us. You take care of the birds. You take care of the little animals. You see all things, Father God, and we know that you continue to take care of us. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name that we could ever know. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In his mighty name, amen. You may be seated at this time.
So we continue our worship through the giving of our tithes and offerings. One of the things I was thinking through over the last week was we celebrated July 4th on Friday. How many of you guys celebrated? Now, if you didn't know what July 4th was, you might think it was the holiday where we try to blow each other up with explosives. And in my neighborhood, it's crazy. Like, the windows shake and rattle. And so just, you know, the day afterwards, you walk out and there's just fireworks, trash everywhere. And I don't know if that's how it is where you guys live, but it's how we are here. And part of that is to celebrate our Independence Day and to celebrate the birth of a nation, and the nation that we all live in, or most of us here all live in. Some of us may be visiting, I don't know. And it's a big deal. I think over the last 10 years, patriotism has gotten kind of a bad name. And mostly because we look at history and we see all the bad that has come down through history, and we forget all the good or the potential. And there is a lot of bad. There's a lot of bad. But there's also a lot of good. And I was reflecting on that over this weekend about the potential and the things that we can do as people in this country. I thought about that we have the ability to gather on a Sunday morning like we do without fear, without the risk of going to jail for our faith. We live in a nation that's one of the most prosperous nations in all of history. And we benefit from that in some small ways. Even if we're very poor, we benefit from that. And there's such a great blessing that God has poured out on us. And I was reflecting on it and thinking about that, and all the you know, you see, every July 4th you see all the different news stories, and it just becomes noise. And I'm like, Lord, what do you want for me this year? And the thing that kept coming back to my mind is that the Lord has blessed us, and he wants us to steward that well. And so we don't have to get trapped in the past. We can look to the future and what Jesus calls us to do each and every day of our life. And he's put us in a place where we have the freedom to do that. And he gives us resources. Even if you have very little money, he gives you all kinds of other things. Gifts, talents, time, all those things to give back to his kingdom and what he wants to see in this world. And so for me, I'm trying to make to look around and see all the good things God has given me and say, okay, how can I say that all I have is Christ? And do a little better each day. And this time that we have right now, this time of worship through our giving of our tithes and offerings, it's a time to reflect on that. You don't have to drop something in the plate to be thinking through that. to think through, how can I pour myself out for Christ? How can I give of myself for Christ? Whether it's in money or service. And that's something all of us can do well to reflect on. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for all the good that we have. Every good and perfect gift is from you, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we pray that you would help us to see the things, the good things. Help us not to dwell on the bad things. Help us to see the good things and respond to you and steward those things well, whether it's money or time or gifts or talents or a kind word or a sharing of the good news of who you are. Lord, I pray that you would stir us and move us to really be your people who pursue you and love others. Lord, we thank you. You are so good. I pray for our nation. I pray for our city. I pray for our state. I pray for other nations all around the world that are in turmoil and upheaval, who hurt so bad, Lord. And I pray that you would bless them, that you would guide them. I pray for the end of war. I know that's a big prayer. I pray for the end of suffering. I pray for your return, Lord. We thank you for who you are and what you have done and will always do and continue to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'm here with my heart. Thank you, gang. It's great music. What's in a day? 2 days ago, we celebrated the 4th of July as a nation, 249 years, 1 year short of 250. Already, probably at least 25 years farther than any other empire that ever existed in the world. It's one of the great reasons why we're commanded to pray, because this thing can disappear just like this. And many would say it already is. Some would say, no, it's better than ever. It doesn't really matter what our perspective is. What matters is God's perspective. And men are feeble and futile. And we're called as believers to pray and to intercede. What's in a day? Came today and to announce that my little granddaughter, Callie, our granddaughter, is 2 years old today. And we're grateful for that. And this is the same day that my niece, who just got married on her first birthday, and her husband are celebrating their first anniversary in New York, memorializing their dad who died unexpectedly. Ran into Rosemary, 48, 40, this would have been her 49th anniversary. Her husband passed on their anniversary over 20 years ago. Bob and Tanya Price just lost a 28-year-old on the 4th of July after just losing another child just shortly before that. James Lamb, his aunt is day-to-day right now in California. As he was leaving to come back here, she got in medical trouble, and he had to leave behind. So what's in a day? And we sit here, and I'm sure if we were to get honest for 30 seconds, some would say, hallelujah, it's been a great, great day, and some say, if you only knew the pain I was carrying. And the good news is, whether you tell anybody or not, he knows. So cry out to him first and foremost. Never stop doing that, because he will never leave you or forsake you. He's very interested in you, more interested than you are yourself. They call that arrogance, by the way. God is not arrogant. He loves his children. With the same love that brought you into the salvation, don't forget, it's the same love that carries you day by day by day and gives you eternal hope beyond this world. Amen? Amen. Okay, I just want to read today's scripture, and then we'll go into God's word. It's from the book of Mark, chapter 4. It's a short one. I'm glad it's a short one. Thank you. But it's a powerful one. Say powerful. Okay. He, being Jesus, said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. May God add a blessing to the reading and hopefully the sharing of his holy word. This is a parable told by Jesus. Many scholars say that Jesus spoke about 35 to 40 parables throughout the Gospels. Some say up to 50. Depends on how you interpret a parable versus a metaphor versus a story. A parable is a short and a simple, usually fictional story that conveys a moral, spiritual, and religious lesson. It's often relatable, uses relatable characters and situations that the hearers would be familiar with to illustrate a deep truth or principle that we ought to seriously consider to live by. Parables are designed to be memorable. Some of us remember parables, stories that Jesus told. Some of us were saved by those very stories, were challenged by those very stories. They're designed to be memorable, thought-provoking, encouraging reflection, and inspiring personal growth, which I would invite you to do today. Reflect and ask God to inspire you through His Word. Parables are mysterious. They carry a deep meaning, measuring the heart, the posture of one's hearer. Isaiah chapter 6, after that tremendous vision that Isaiah had, and God spoke to him, and he says, "Woe is me, I'm a sinful man." Then the Lord said, "Who will I send?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." See, God works with sinners, not self-righteous people. Sinners who realize they're sinners and realize that God loves them so much that Jesus poured out his blood to save them. Well, the prophet Isaiah says, or the Lord says, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their eyes heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn to be healed." I can remember one of the first times I read that. It says, wait a minute now. Is he trying to keep people from believing? Sounds like that, doesn't it? But these parables will reveal where your heart is. If inside you're reading this thing and you're getting rebellious, or you're getting, that might be fine for someone else, but I can do my own thing. I don't need to listen to anybody or any time or anything. God will blind you from the truth until you are humbled enough to say, "Help me, Jesus." How many people here receive Christ the very first time you heard the gospel, or you need to be convinced or challenged? Very few get it just like that, especially if you experience life a little bit. The only thing good about experiencing life is the more we do, the more we realize, man, I'm messed up. That's why maybe the two most important verses in this little parable is verse 23, "If anybody has ears to hear, let him hear." And verse 24, "Consider carefully," the ESV says, "pay attention what you hear." Remember, two ears, one mouth. And the Word of God says in Jeremiah 29, "The plans I have for you" is not the only verse in that chapter. It says, "If you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart." Let's pray. Make us people who seek you with all our heart. Crash through any barriers in our mind, in our heart, that allow this to be a familiar, same old story. And change us dramatically and use us for your kingdom and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You read this story, it seems very simple. In fact, it's even kind of silly when you think about it. It's a very straightforward message from our Lord Jesus, but there are many challenges that get in the way. Challenges called life. A lack of spiritual priority. I'm too busy. I'm worldly. I'm lazy. I'm apathetic. I'm filled with fear and shame. Oh, I'll get to it later. I know it's good, but I got some other things to do right now. And what makes it even more challenging from this side of the pulpit is the preacher is under greater judgment when he teaches this word to you. That's why it's not just important what comes out of our mouths, but what is our example? And I don't know about you, but I'm still a man under progress. And I'm grateful that I have a God who is patiently chipping away at this hard piece of clay sometimes to try to conform it and shape it into his image. Why? Because John 15 says he wants you to be fruitful followers. He says, I want you to bear fruit, much fruit, and more fruit. In other words, that's the posture he made us to be as saved believers. We are Jesus in the flesh to people around us. That's a pretty awesome challenge. It's also a tremendous privilege. And if you keep the privilege before the challenge, you might even say, God, show me today what you have for me and what you want from me, that we would impact his kingdom, the one where he has sovereignly placed us, whether we realize it or not. How many of you ever thought, how did I end up in this job? Or I can't stand my neighbors. Or is this really the family you gave me? Put those hands down. What would happen if you really believed that God is sovereignly in control? And where he placed you is exactly where he wants you. And there might be a divine purpose to it if we ask him. And now the parable. This is a lamp. You might be thinking right now, man, all that guy thinks about is sports. Well, God is still working on me, I said, right? He's still working on me. But this is a lamp. And the purpose of this lamp is to remind you, just like Jesus reminded his hearers, what the purpose of the thing is all about. Now, consider, you might think, this sports dude is, he's nuts. What's the first verse in the Old Testament? In the big inning, God created the heaven and the earth. Don't tell me God doesn't love baseball. I know he does. But there is a difference between the lamps from yesterday and the lamps today. Back in the day, a lamp was made out of a very small clay bowl with a spout to hold a wick containing a few ounces of oil that served as fuel. The stand in common homes was probably a simple shelf that protruded out of the wall. In more wealthier homes, it might have been a refined, elegant stand that you could put the candle in. But the purpose was always the same, just like this here. A light is meant to both shine and give direction. Light also dispels darkness. That was an amazing thought I was shared with a long time ago, that a little flashlight in a dark Houston Astrodome would light up a good part of that building. But no darkness could ever shut out the light. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. There's a power outage. How many have either candles or flashlights where you know where they are when our power goes out in Cleveland? It's not a bad idea, because when you have it, there's some hope. You can see what you need to do. You can get some relief and help. It's a very practical thing to have and to do. A light is meant to shine and give direction. It dispels darkness. Ooh. It unmasks the hidden, bringing it out into the open, the concealed and the secret. In this case, the light, the lamp we're talking about here, is not just the truth of God's word. It's Jesus Christ himself, who says, I am the light of the world, Pastor Mark's favorite verse. That light that will call you out of darkness, that light that will lead you in your journey if you seek him first. The scripture, though, almost sounds silly. Do you bring a lamp into the room to take a basket and put it over it? Think about what he's saying here. Does this make any sense in the world? Or even more so, you hide it under a bed. I thought about that. Our fireman Doug isn't here today. But could you imagine lighting a candle, put it under the bed? You know what they call that? Hot sheets. And I'm calling 911 and getting Doug over here to put the fire out. Because that's not what the lamp is supposed to do. What is the conviction that Jesus is saying here? We're called to be the light of the world, Matthew 5:16. You are the light of the world. Do God's good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. 1 Peter 2:12, even in times of persecution, ask God for the grace to live pleasing to him. You might catch a little heat, but ultimately, others around you are going to see Christ in you. That's one of the reasons we struggle and we suffer. When you say, God, I thought you loved me, take it away. He said, I do, I'm using you. John Piper wrote a little booklet, Don't Waste Your Cancer. Use it as a platform to share Jesus with people who don't have any eternal hope. And even when I get weak, that's what fellowship is for, to pray and encourage one another. But God can use the worst of the worst to be the best of the best for somebody who's going right through what you are but doesn't have hope. You know any people like that in your life? Think about it. They're so worldly minded, they're heavenly no good. And that's not a commentary on their person, but it's their state. They lack hope. Romans 10, 14, and 15 says that good works is not always enough. He says, how can they know if someone doesn't tell them? And if you don't tell them, who will? You see, there is a place always for good deeds. But sometimes those good deeds are called to open your mouth. Not in your face, arrogantly sharing the gospel, but communicating the hope you have that causes these good works. You want people to walk and say, you know, I don't know much about that guy, but he really is a good guy. And I'm thinking, if you knew the creep I was, you wouldn't say what a good guy he is. You'd say what a great God he knows. Isn't that what we're supposed to be and do? That's why John the Baptist said, I must decrease so he can increase. I'm not an evangelist. It's not my spiritual gift. But I'm called to evangelize when the opportunity arises, and so are you. Some of you do it like, man, you can turn a sneeze of God bless you and the sharing the gospel with somebody, and man, they've repented and they're moving. If you're like me, sometimes I stutter and beep, 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 boop. Because it doesn't come easy for me. But that doesn't mean I don't do it. And if you've ever had the joy of not just leading somebody to Christ, but sharing the gospel, can you explain the feeling you have afterwards, whether they respond or not? There's nothing better than that feeling. To know that you let somebody know this great God who loves you and gave himself up for you. Someone asked Charles Spurgeon, will the heathen who have never heard the gospel be saved? Ever had that question before? I can remember, what about the people in blah, blah, blah? I asked that question when I was confronted with the gospel. I wanted to try to intellectualize it away from me because I didn't like the heat. But here's what Spurgeon said. It's more a question whether we who have the gospel and fail to give it to those who have not can be saved. Ooh, depart from me, I never knew you. That's not meant to create guilt. It's meant to create reflection. Am I hanging on to this treasure that other people might observe, but don't tell them where it comes from? If somebody didn't have the courage to come into a track locker room in 1973, God knows where I'd be today. Because you're not supposed to do that in a locker room. But he did. And for whatever reason, that was the start of my journey. And we talk about K groups and fellowship groups and prayer groups, and it's all good. We need that. But are you so stuck in your holy huddle, feasting upon God's truth, and yet never pouring it out into the spirits that God has put around you, making the gospel come alive through our practical and intentional words and deeds? We get spiritually fat, taking in, not putting anything out. And pretty soon when you do that, two things happen. One, you start to get apathetic toward this word because you don't see it doing anything. Secondly, you get critical and judgmental of others. My light's better than your light. My light's better than yours. That's what it seems like. You're always looking to pick and pick and pick because the light is supposed to operate in darkness. Here it gets encouraged. It gets stimulated, but so I can go out there where I'm afraid sometimes. To neighbors I don't even know and look like in my head, well, they wouldn't be interested anyway. That's why I love to look at Jesus. Not always because he challenges the snot out of me. And you look at my nose, there's a lot of snot in there. Often we choose not to lovingly refute with truth and mercy, thinking that our lack of words and actions will be Christ-like, when in reality we're driven by fear or indifference or weakness or ignorance of a host of other wrong motivations, especially today when people are so opinionated. So rather than get into a quarrel, I'll just keep my mouth shut. Don't look for quarrels, because he says don't do that. But share out of your love, out of your experience, then out of the word of God. I was very challenged in my early salvation. I thought, man, this is fabulous. My family's going to come to Christ. Man, we're all going to change. And I shared with my family on day before Thanksgiving. All six of them were there. And I said, you're all going to go to hell because you don't know Jesus. And my dad goes, there's one person going to hell here, and it's not us. And that was the response I got for many years. What I didn't realize at the time, because I was thinking, God, what are you doing? The Prince of Peace said on his first advent to the earth, he did not come to bring peace, but rather a sword. Father against son, mother against daughter, blah, 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 blah. This is what the gospel does. It disrupts things. My dad, who wasn't even going to church, I found out that what bothered him the most is he realized I wasn't following the things he used to teach me, even though he wasn't practicing it himself. Dad got saved the night before he died. My mom got saved. My sister got saved. My brother got saved. There's still two more out there, plus a host of aunts and uncles. I was in Indianapolis last week. My cousin, 46 years, retiring from the priesthood. I think he knows Jesus. I think anyone that can celebrate anything 46 years, I'll be there. But to be around all my relatives, who in many ways I love so much, but are lost on planet Mars because they follow a former religion without any substance of knowing God, not knowing about him, that was me, but knowing him as a person who loves you and loves me with an everlasting love. If your family is your toughest mission field, which I believe it is, don't quit. Pray. Ask the Lord to help you to be a witness, to be a model, and then leave it in God's hands. He's not through when we are. He's writing a story that we don't even know about. Don't quit praying for your family. But in the meantime, we're supposed to leave the aroma of Christ everywhere. Radiate and point others to the proper path through his power, by his light, to remove this off the lamp so it can shine brightly. The Bible says that we all have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. In other words, if you're a believer, God the Holy Spirit lives in you. Can you think about that for just 1 minute? Because when I do, I think, well, why in the heck am I living the way I do? I know the problem isn't you. The problem isn't your word. Work in me. Please show me. You got my attention. Now do something with it. Please. One of the greatest quotes on evangelism is accredited to St. Augustine, but he never really said it. But it's a good word. He says, speak the gospel, and when necessary, use words. That's not a cop-out to say, well, I can just do show. Remember going to school, maybe if you got little ones? Friday is show and tell day. And you bring something to class that you love, and you tell about it. The gospel is show and tell. I show it. Christ in me, live through me. I tell it when God gives us the opportunity. There's no greater ministry than that. That's why he says here, if you have ears to hear, do this, please. Ears to hear. Pluck your ears. I want to make sure you know you got them. If you have ears to hear, let them hear. He's saying, listen. How many remember Charles Stanley? You know, we're still reading devotions. The man's been dead. But he used to always say, as he's preaching, he'd go, listen. And he'd get your attention whenever he did that. Listen. Jesus is saying here, listen. Carefully consider what I'm about to tell you in verses 24 and 25. Let me read it again. He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has more will be given, and from the one who is not, even what he has will be taken away. And if I would put it in kind of layman's terms, he's saying this, use it or lose it. You're faithful to what I've given you, I'll give you more. Parable of talents. But if you're not, I'll take it from you. And when you go to Matthew 25, at the extreme place, the thing I might lose is to realize I wasn't saved in the first place. Now, I'm not judging your soul. But the Word of God has allowed that to be a warning to us. Do I realize what he's given me? Or am I so fixed on me? And it's easy to do. Am I allowing you to say, take my life and let it be, consecrated Lord to me, or, boy, you're not being good to me. You know what your heart is. The Word of God knows what your heart is, and he's trying to speak to our heart right now. But we have one major advantage that they didn't have back then. You see, the Word of God says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ wasn't in these guys at that point. This is all pre-Calvary. He was telling them what he was going to do, what was going to happen when I did it, and what's the impact for those who receive. The impact is Christ comes into you. It's a relationship, an adoption. I become part of his. I didn't believe anybody loved me. 2 weeks before I got saved, I thought about suicide. I wouldn't have done it. I was a coward. But I really believed nobody loved me, including my own family. I dreamt of my funeral, and nobody showed up. You talk about a, well, I won't say, because you might share my thought. I want to tell you, don't get stuck there. Because it was 2 weeks later, God shared the gospel with me. You see, this beautiful lamp, you like baseball, right? I can give it to you. I could put it in your room. Admirers could come in and say, oh, you must like baseball. Some would say, we need a lamp. The other would say, what kind of thing is that? But you know that this lamp will give you something that you need. But I want to tell you this. Until I do this, that lamp will give you nothing. Is the light tied to the power source within you? And you're saying, God, give me the courage to live my life in a way that pleases you. And give me the word to speak your word of hope to somebody who needs to know. Ask God to turn on the light if you need it. It's not a message of condemnation. It's a message of encouragement. Because if we're saved, the light is already here. It's a matter of, will the Holy Spirit run it or not? Capiche? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless your name and thank you for this day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I think I was stunned. I know I was stunned that you wanted to save me, that you chose me before the foundation of the world. But then I was really, really stunned when you said, I want to use you. I said, you got to be kidding. I'll give you 100 people that you should call on, because I didn't believe in anything about myself. But it's not about believing in ourselves. It's about believing in Christ in us, who can do amazing things to the spirit who yields to him. Set us free. May we come back with, as Pastor Mark said, writing praise reports on those sheets of paper along with our prayers. Because we see God working. If we're a little sleepy, wake us up to your priority. If anyone here doesn't know that God I'm talking about, would you please draw them to yourself, just as you did me many moons ago? We bless you and we thank you that we are the light that you've called to be on a hill, not only to guide our steps, but to bring hope in others who are caught in darkness. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
We come now to our time of communion. This is something that we as a church here at Scranton celebrate the first Sunday of every month. And it's vital. It's vital because it reminds us of the gospel, of a love that's the greatest love ever in all of history. And it's not just some general love for all the people gathered here. It's a love for you. So as we come to the table and we take bread and we take the juice, fruit of the vine, it is a remembrance that Jesus loved you. So much that he gave himself. And that's the good news. And that's open to all who hear and respond. We celebrate it here by passing plates with bread and plates with cups of juice. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you've said yes to Jesus, then we invite you to take of that to remember what he's done. You can take the bread as it's passed. You can take the cup as it's passed. And just hold those, and then we take them each together. If you're not a follower of Jesus, if you've never responded to him, don't feel any pressure to take. Nobody's going to think any differently of you. Just use this time to think about the words that Pastor Joe shared with us today from God's word. If you're serving communion, you can go ahead and line up in the back. I'm going to pray, then our servers are going to come forward. And just spend this time thinking about God's incredible gift of love for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are and what you've done. We thank you for this time that we spend now to remember your body broken, your blood shed for us. How great that love is. And what it does in our life and how it changes the trajectory of our life and the meaning of our life and the hope of our life. Lord, I pray as we take of these elements that you would just sink that truth deep into our hearts, that we would understand how great you are and how great your love is, and that it would just spark something in us to share that with all those around us. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at his table. I'm invited to the table of the Lord. I'm invited to the table of the Lord. He says, come just as you are to his table. Come all ye
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Take and eat. Then Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Take and drink. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the blessing of who you are, for your mercy, your grace, your love for us. That's so great. Help us to remember that and let that just shine out through our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you would stand, if you're willing and able, to sing this last song. These words are very heavy. We ask that you sing with all your heart.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. All to Jesus I surrender. should say, I surrender all. Hallelujah.
God, we want those words to be genuine in our hearts, that we genuinely want to surrender all. I know sometimes we just surrender almost. And God, help us to take those things that we're still clinging to give us hope and meaning that's apart from you, and lay them at your feet, knowing that they'll never satisfy. They'll never give us the life and hope that we think they will. Help us truly turn to you and embrace you and ask you for daily strength for the things that we just don't have the strength for. And we're so grateful that when we are weak, you are strong. So give us that strength as we depart here. And bless the food as we congregate together and just share a meal, that the conversations would just lift each other up and encourage each other. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace and be a light.